We are joined on the telephone now by Christine Lindberg. She is a senior lexicographer at Oxford University Press. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Just great.
Thanks for joining us this evening.
Oh, well, such a pleasure.
We're so excited to talk to you about the 2009 Word of the Year. But first, I want to ask if you would explain for our listeners what a lexicographer does.
Well, I am responsible for the creation and editing and updating of dictionaries and thesauruses, specifically for Oxford University Press.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get into this line of work? It sounds like, I mean, to me, I love words. It sounds like so much fun.
It is a great deal of fun. If you love to do what I do, then you love your job. And I do. And I don't have a very simple story of how I got into it because there wasn't any special training I went through, which frustrates people often when they are would-be lexicographers. They'd really like to know how to get into the field, and I'm afraid I often disappoint because it was just a series of events from a job out of high school starting. I was painting the photographic film for four-color separation for comic books and the Sunday Funnies. And that was my first introduction into the world of publishing. It had very little to do with words, but the bug bit, and I was gone. I knew somehow I had to do something that was related to some sort of publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And that just eventually segued into working for a larger company that was doing newspaper advertisements. I worked briefly for a newspaper. And because I was in the general field, a friend of mine who had some connection to a publisher who was doing an update of math textbooks for grades kindergarten through eighth grade suggested me, as a candidate to go in there and help work on this because she knew that I had this habit of at bedtime, when I couldn't go to sleep, I would dream up quadratic equations, and I still do that. I think of mathematical things. So I loved it. They gave me the job right away, and I did that as a freelancer or really an in-house short-term contract project. And when that was done, someone related to that project was also affiliated with another small firm that did contract work for large publishers such as Random House and Webster's New World, and I did quite a bit of encyclopedia writing and editing for a couple of years until a page from a dictionary project was handed to me, and it was my first involvement. That was back in, I believe, 89 or 90, and it was the section R from a children's dictionary for World Book.
I love that.
I said, "Oh, I'm gone. I'm taken away. I'm being transported. Of everything I've ever done before, it has led me to this with no formal training as a lexicographer. I knew immediately it's what I had to do."
That's great. So you work on the new Oxford American Dictionary, and that is who issues the Word of the Year, which started in 2004, is that correct?
Well, I was thinking it's 2004, except I've been racking my brain today, and the first one I can think of is 2005. So either we started in 2004 and I just cannot remember what that word was, or we actually started in 2005, and that word was definitely podcast.
Okay. Okay. So what is the purpose of designating a Word of the Year?
Well, we are word watchers, we being the actual editorial staff on both sides of the pond. I have the great privilege of working with many colleagues who are in Oxford, England. And I am basically the senior lexicographer of U.S. dictionaries by default because I'm really the one that does most of the Americanization of any British data that we have, and I'm the one who inputs all the American data. So when we are considering words throughout the year, we are generally thinking of them for inclusion into an updated edition or maybe a new dictionary that we're doing, but we're always collecting words and researching them, studying them, observing them. Now, not every word that comes across the landscape immediately is going to leap into the dictionary. It may leap into some fringe dictionary, such, mm-hmm. you know, like Urban Dictionary or something like that, but we have a more sober responsibility to maintain certain Oxford Dictionary standards. So that really needs to be underscored, that words, just because they emerge into the viewfinder, does not mean they're going to leap into the next dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
But we always have so many interesting candidates of words that we look at through the year that some of them may be just not ripe enough or mature enough to go into the dictionary, but that doesn't diminish the fact that they've made some sort of an imprint on that year, on that moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
The words that are the candidates for Word of the Year, including the one that's ultimately chosen as the Word of the Year, they represent a very interesting time capsule, because it will be very interesting, especially in 10, 20, 30 years and on, to go back and look at what words were there
mm-hmm.
on the landscape for that year. Some of them will be so familiar, it'll be hard to remember that it was ever thought of as new. And some of them will be so forgotten, we'll have to look and see what the definition was. But that's all what makes the Word of the Year process so fun for us and so meaningful, because that really puts us in with all the rest of you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a crystal ball. We're not soothsayers. We are just as excited about seeing a new word, and we're impassioned to find out if it's going to be assimilated into the language, but we have to wait along with everyone else
mm-hmm.
to see if that will happen.
Mm-hmm. So when I was doing the research for our talk tonight, the word of the year, of course, is unfriend, right?
That's correct.
And I was looking at some websites and got the idea of looking in the Oxford English Dictionary for unfriend. And there is an entry for it as a verb, the example of its usage, there was an example from the 1650s.
1659, to be precise.
And it basically seemed like it meant the same thing, only obviously not with computers.
Well, I have to tell you that of all the people who have spoken to me and have interviewed me about this in the last 2 weeks, you were the first person astute enough to have picked up on that. I've actually had to point that out. That's one of the things that I find so compelling about this year's word, is that a generation, and I'm really going to credit this year's word with younger people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean the rest of us can't use it. It just means, I think it's safe to say, the word unfriend was brought into the forefront by a younger group of users of the language. And they have done something that is virtually impossible. Now, I'm sure they didn't do it on purpose. It was probably very inadvertent. But they have resurrected an all-but-dead word in our language.
Huh.
They probably think they invented it because it's a reasonable and rational invention of a term for the purpose, for the use. And yet, as you say, the 1659 citation means essentially the same thing. It's just a different venue.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that extremely compelling, because it's not something you hear about every day, a word that has completely, for all intents and purposes, has died mm-hmm. from the language.
And for folks who don't, maybe aren't Facebook users, could you just briefly explain what unfriend means?
Well, I will, as a non-Facebook user myself. So I was on Facebook for about 5 minutes. That didn't work out very well. The definition.
Good for you, Christine. Good for you.
I thought, put on it.
I think you and I are the only two.
Well,
don't do it.
It I tell you, my daughter thought it would be a good idea. And all of a sudden, my inbox of my email was when I say clogged, it doesn't even come close. There was just this copious amount of names of people who wanted to be friends. And I thought, this is not the way I make friends. And I'm going to have to give up my life just to dedicate myself to being friends with all these people, and I'm not responding to even one of them. I said, take me off of this immediately.
So you unfriended them, did you?
I did without ever even friending them, which is a whole new spin. And apparently my daughter had to send out something, a message to everyone who she somehow sent something out that said, my mother is insane. She hates Facebook. Forget she ever had it. So that was as close as I got. But the definition of unfriend is a verb to remove someone as a friend on a social networking site such as Facebook.
Okay, good. So tell us what other candidates you had this year.
Well,
for the word either.
We grouped them by subject this year, which we had never done before, which is why we presented more finalists than normal. We usually would have the top 10. But this year we grouped them, and the technology words were hashtag, which is the number sign that Twitter users use. It helps them search for tweets.
Do you Twitter?
No.
I haven't figured that one out either.
No.
Not intentionally.
But I don't Twitter.
Only in the shower.
No. I don't Twitter intentionally either, but I was gratified that within about 12 hours of our press release, we were in the top 10 Twitter subjects on the planet Earth.
Nice.
And I don't exactly know what that means, but boy, that sounded very impressive.
So why was the media so interested in this word this year? I mean, there was media coverage all over the place about unfriend being the 2009 word of the year.
Oh yeah, I had to do an interview with Voice of America for a broadcast in China about it. The interest was seemingly limitless, but I think that the fact that the blogosphere mm-hmm. has become more than just a little microcosm, it has become such a defining part of our current culture that we can no longer just ignore it as something that's going on the internet. It's something that's really going on in a very real and big way. And this massive instant communication, it engendered so much wrath about the word of the year, so much arguments, and so many bloggers going crazy with the whole thing. And I think it was very empowering for those who were able to respond to something immediately and get reaction from other people. Mm-hmm. So we basically, other than my having to answer phone calls and do interviews for television, newspaper, and radio, basically we could just sit back and watch the bloggers go to town with all of this. There was so much discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main arguments was brought about by those who thought we had made a horrific mistake because the word is defriend, it is not unfriend. And that was good for some blogging arguments for days and days. And so I think the fact that the whole system of communication has changed so much
mm-hmm.
that there was no stopping it. And the fact that the word speaks to the very technology that facilitates that communication made it extremely ripe for the picking.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could say that I had foreseen this, and yes, that's why we picked it, but it was a complete surprise.
Mm-hmm. So, Anna, or Christine, in the couple minutes that we have left, I'd like to ask you, I'm thinking about when you mentioned the blogosphere, how has the existence of the internet changed the way dictionaries are published or how you build a dictionary? It has to be huge.
It is huge. We are in a whole new era, and I feel that, I don't know, something good must have happened to me in a former life or something to just have plunked me in the middle of this at this point in my career to be given access to the type of tools that we have. And of all places to work, Oxford, who has the greatest state-of-the-art facilities that are basically come through a database, and we have the Oxford English Corpus, which is language research that's based on real evidence. So any old dictionaries you have at home that have these sentence examples, all of those were always made up by the editors. We don't make anything up anymore. We don't need to. We have a database of over 2 billion words from every bit of written and spoken language that we can get our hands on. It's in an electronic form, and it can give it back to us. It can analyze it. Everything that we do know as lexicographers is based on the most accurate, meaningful use of the language that you can have. And none of this would have been possible before the computer mm-hmm. era. Mm-hmm. Also, it lets us not only use these tools for research so that we can continue to be the most authoritative reporters of the language, but we can also give back to the readers electronic formats. We can, for every dictionary we put in print, we can provide an online format, and that's going to be a very large theme of the year 2010. We will have the capability. We already have the capability, but the readers will have the capability to subscribe to any number of Oxford reference materials. Mm-hmm. And that means that when we come to a new edition of a dictionary, one of the difficult things has always been we have much new language uses, senses, and terms to put into the new edition. What are we going to have to take out right. to make that fit? We no longer have that problem because we always can save everything in the online version.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's extremely exciting, and I am very much the old dog that is loving to learn new tricks.
That's great. Well, before we go, Christine, I know that you, I want you to share with our listeners your affinity for a certain Minnesota sports team.
Oh, indeed. For the whole state of Minnesota, I love you. I've never been there, but it's the Viking blood in me. But Minnesota is where my heart is with baseball. The Minnesota Twins, they're my team. I live in upstate New York now, but I come from the Connecticut shoreline. And for your listeners that may not understand that connection, I just have to tell you that this town in Connecticut, New Britain, Connecticut, yeah. is where you all got Torrey Hunter, Doug Mankiewicz, A.J. Sure. Pruszynski, Michael Kadire, Justin Morneau, Joe Mauer. It goes on and on and on and on and on, because that is where the AA team is.
Yeah.
It's like a fertile ground for Minnesota. We grow them in Connecticut. Alas, I'm not there anymore. But in the 1998 year alone, there were 17 guys on that roster that became big in the majors.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. It's just fantastic. And I just have a great passion for the Minnesota Twins, because they were like my children when I would go and sit at those games.
So maybe you'll have to get out here sometime and visit the new outdoor baseball stadium that's opening next spring.
I would love that so much. And just everything about where you are, I have to admit, I never heard of Grand Marais. That's pronounced. Did
yes,
I say that
good.
Right?
You better not blow it being a lexicographer.
Well, I had to be careful because so many French names have been corrupted and anglicized. But I think I would love to come not only visit Minnesota but right where you are. There's an affinity there because the town I live in now has similar demographics, except that I was. Looking at the demographics, I was noticing you're much more racially diverse than we are.
We are?
Oh, yes. You're only 95% white, your population. That's far more diverse than where I am.
Okay.
And your population density is a little too much for me, but kind of a crowded place for me. Yeah. I think you have over 500 people per square mile, and we have 40.
Oh, well, you do have to wait occasionally at the one stoplight, but it's not that bad.
It sounds like a wonderful place, and I've always loved Minnesota since I was a child because I always believed that Frostbite Falls was a real place, and I think part of me still does, and your state is amazing. I mean, you gave us Bob Dylan and Dr. Demento.
This is not Dr. Demento.
This just isn't something any other state can say.
We are pretty lucky. You're right. Well, Christine, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us tonight, and we'll keep watching those words and see what happens next year.
Well, I thank you. And if I send you the second edition of the New Oxford American Dictionary to your office, would you guys... look up words that you think might be regional, since you're so close to Canada, and that you think should be in the dictionary and maybe aren't. And if you see they're not, could you email me?
Absolutely.
Some?
That sounds like a great project.
Love knowing people who are where you are.
Glad to do it. Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
Take care.